Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Irish taste buds have come a long way over the years, from Peking duck to tonkatsu, ramen, Nepali momu dumplings and kimchi fried rice. How does that sound? Yeah, well, what's it really like running a business of Asian food today? Joining me are three people who know all about it. Eva Pau is the commercial director of the Asia Market. She also has a great cookery program on RT Television, which I believe the second series has just started to film. So Eva, you're very welcome to the programme. Also joining us is Lena Gautam. She's from Monty's in Kathmandu in Temple Bar. You're so welcome to the programme, Lena. And also joining us, another veteran of Asian cuisine, Kevin Hui. He's the managing director at the China Sichuan. Kevin, you're also very welcome to the programme. Now, Kevin, we might start with you, as the elder man in the room, let's call you.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to talk to you. I know you for many years.
I do.
But remind our listeners about your journey and the original business that started, I think, in the Lotus in Dunleary.
That's correct, yeah. My parents came over here in the early 60s. I suppose the very first incarnation of a business was Lotus House in Dunleary, which was the early 70s.
Yeah.
I think in some ways it was pioneering, because I still remember as a child, because it's down the main street of Dunleary. And Dunleary, that save, was thriving, a thriving little town, and it was a main street in Dunleary. And opposite, we had, I think, Murray's Record Store, very famous incarnation in its own day. And then at that stage, I think it evolved very quickly, because I think in the very first incarnation, I think you had food like fried rice with fried egg on top, or, you know, nouveau cuisine of chicken curry and metal bowls and things like that. And it became a kind of the norm there. And it kind of grew very, 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 very quickly. So from our early days in Dunleary, we had a lot of people coming in, relations coming in from Hong Kong, and they literally picked up a walk. They weren't even trained chefs at that stage.
Yeah.
A lot of people coming in via Hong Kong, via London, and then literally they're picking up walks. They could be doctors, could be engineers, and literally for them was a way of life. And slowly to them, we had a lot of people come in, and literally people came and go. I think from the Lotus House emanated a lot of takeaways and Chinese restaurants that really started from Dunleary all over the country. I think that run its course over 6 or 7 years, but then I think at that stage, my father had evolved it, and we took over place in Stillorgan.
Yeah.
And at that stage, it was called Lai Chi Chinese Restaurant. And then that was on the N11 at one stage. And this is before we widened the road. And then to a compulsory order, it was relocated to Stillorgan. We had ran it as Lai Chi for a long time, and then we took it over, and then it became the Sichuan at that stage.
Yeah.
So my father at that stage, you know, had been through the stage where he bought in a lot of migrant workers, a lot of family, that he went to Sichuan and bought 4 Sichuan chefs that were literally trained in the Sichuan culinary art. At that stage, Chinese people didn't have passports, and they were even allowed to China, and there's a very bunch of different world then. So these guys were literally trained in the college and graded to various different categories, and then graded like A1, A2, and then they sent off with passports to promote Sichuan cuisine.
Wow. So, and you were able to get them.
Yeah.
I suppose that was getting that key staff members, those key culinary talents into the business was critical.
Absolutely. It made the restaurant very unique. So for one stage, we actually had trained chefs.
Wow.
And for these guys.
Stay with us. I want to bring in Eva Pau. Eva, you're very welcome to the program. Again, a remarkable story embedded in the Asian community here. The wholesaler to many Asian restaurants. Again, started by your parents with very humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I'm second generation. So when my parents started it, I remember, you know, my mom ran the retail shop. And so she was selling kind of Asian Chinese food to mainly the Chinese community. And then my dad was delivering to all Asian restaurants, Chinese restaurants, really, all over the country. And now I feel it's just changed so much. I mean, like, if like our retail business, I mean, a lot of the customers that come in are not just Asian anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's the local community coming in, you know.
Well, it's become mainstream, has it not? This is the wonderful thing about the evolution of the sector, that I think there was a very small Asian community in Ireland when it started, and it has grown with the cuisine.
It definitely has. I mean, and, you know, in Chinese food alone, I mean, I think it's become, I mean, Kevin's probably the forefront of it, where he started off the Sichuan, because, I mean, usually Chinese, you go Chinese restaurant, and then, but now it's actually become more regional. You know,
yeah.
You get the Sichuan, you get the Hong Kong, you get the Xi'an, you know, it's definitely a more of a melting pot, you know.
Yeah. And again, I suppose the consumer, how they've changed from the early days of sweet and sour chicken balls and, you know,
becoming very sophisticated, Bobby, yeah. Isn't it?
But I'm wondering who drove that sophistication. Well, was that customer driven, or was it, as Kevin said, all this culinary talent coming in to provide?
The culinary talent, I think, is one aspect, but like from a retail aspect, you know, I really remember, you know, 8 years ago, Korean cuisine really wasn't that well known, you know. And I remember we didn't really even sell kimchi. You were talking about kimchi fried rice. We didn't really sell kimchi. I think we only had tins of kimchi. Now, if you go into our supermarket, there is a full meter of chilled kimchi, and we bring that in direct from Korea. And I think that is from letting people taste it, you know. So like in our supermarket, we did like tastings of kimchi for at least 3 or 4 years every weekend, showing people how to use kimchi, and they can come in and taste it. And I think that has, when they taste it, they know what to do with it, and then they bring it home, you know.
I think as well that, you know, the fact that we're so much more traveled now as well, that
Absolutely.
People are coming back having experienced something like kimchi somewhere else and then coming back with, and there's a demand for it. Let's bring in Lena, who's been waiting very patiently here. Thank you for your patience, Lena Gautam from Monty's in Temple Bar. Now, Europe, if we thought Asian was confusing, wait till we talk Nepalese. because people used to think you were Lebanese. They used to think all sorts of things
That's
about
right.
you. Give us your story, if you would, Lena.
Okay. We came to Ireland in 1997 to open a restaurant. We were quite young. My husband was living in London at the time, and we just decided to open a restaurant. And my husband, he studied in UK, so his friends, he had very good friends, Irish friends, few Irish friends, and they said, why don't you come to Dublin and open a restaurant? And we had no idea of any business or anything.
It's probably a good idea, a good job that you didn't know any more than you knew.
That's what, I was telling that, you know, I think ignorance is a bliss. So we just gave up our job, full-time job. My husband had a government job, and I was working in a recruitment agency, and we just packed everything and we left. Our parents were not happy back home, and because we had arranged marriage, so I didn't know my husband very well.
Is that
so
right?
I just followed him. I literally followed him. If somebody asks me how...
And this was probably a big risk, but you didn't think about it too much at the time.
No, we didn't. And then Shiva said, okay, if it doesn't work out, I'll go back to engineering in 2 years. But we never did.
Tell us about the cuisine then. Tibet, China and India. It's kind of an infusion of those places. Is that right?
Yes.
And again, in terms of educating the consumer, we joked about people thinking you were Lebanese and everything. How did you get the message across of that this is different cuisine to what Kevin is doing or what other places are doing? How did you get that message out there?
Yes, it was a challenge.
Yeah.
I think at that time, even UK, who had loads of, Indian community, and they have lots of Indian restaurant, even they didn't have Nepalese restaurant then. So when we came and opened only Nepalese restaurant for Irish customers, they were like, where is this? You know, where is this? And I remember that first day of our opening, we had 25 people, and all of them actually been to Nepal.
Right. That was a good start. Yes. Yeah.
So, but the way I explain Nepalese cuisine is like it's a fusion of Indian and Chinese, because we are surrounded three side by India and one by China. So we do use similar spices as Indian cuisine, but at the same time we do use certain spices like Sichuan pepper and stuff like that from Chinese cuisine. And our dumpling, one of the most popular Momo, a street food, actually we did get it from Tibet side, because at that time, long time ago, because Nepal was closed economy before, and the only trade they had was with Tibet.
Great.
So that's how.
Wow. Kevin, when we look at places like Parnell Street now, where there's a whole, I suppose, melting pot of Asian cuisine, how did that come about?
It's interesting though. I think when we start off, there wasn't that many Chinese, but I think there's a lot of second generation Chinese that came over like 15 years ago, more students, and then literally they chose to stay. And then by staying, they kind of created their own little Chinatown in Parnell Street for really to have a market that's more accessible for themselves. And they're providing the food that they would get in themselves and literally create that kind of local cuisine for themselves. So you have a very specialty product. They own Sichuan hot pots, which were never seen before.
Wow.
Which is very specialized for Sichuan as well, especially the noodle places and dumpling places. So it's almost like a mini Chinatown that kind of really evolved over like last 15 or 16 years by pretty much a second generation Chinese students that came in like 15, 20 years ago. They really came in to study. And then they chose to stay here, and then they created their own lives. I know that a lot of them are still here, and they're settled down now. So you have another generation now coming up to them.
I wanted to ask you about dine-in versus take-out. They're probably two very different businesses. Sometimes, and I go through necessity in that, we've seen during COVID where everybody had to switch to doing takeout. But do you consider them two separate businesses?
I consider them two very different businesses.
Yeah.
I think.
And do they need to be operated completely independently?
They need to be completely separate. Like,
yeah.
I noticed from experience, like, going back to when we were slogan at the restaurant, my parents used to do takeaways simultaneously to the restaurant, but I long come to believe that business cannot do both.
Yeah.
You're busy at one as the other. And when we were doing takeaways and slogan, I actually stopped it because it's an interfering restaurant.
Yeah.
And then, so we never did takeaways and slogan for like 15 years. And then when I relocated the business to Sandyford, with massive investment, I swore blind we never do takeaways, because it would really kind of, in some ways, devalue what we're trying to do. But obviously, with COVID being what it was, we had to actually change the model of takeaway business, which again was very different, because the restaurant had never done any takeaway business at all. So that became very different. It survived on takeaways for 2.5 years, mainly because our chefs were there. If they went home to China, they would never come back.
Yeah.
And so we all chose to stay and make it work. And then by doing so, when we reopened after COVID, it became strictly back to restaurant, but the demand for a high-end takeaway was there. So thus, we opened another takeaway, China Sichuan, to go right beside it, which is a very separate kitchen, using the same food, but maintaining the same ethos as a restaurant.
Yeah, good. Yeah, very interesting. Eva, can I ask you about, you've got two retail outlets. The wholesale arm of your business is obviously very significant, but do you supply much more than Chinese or Indian, or you'd supply Irish restaurants or European cuisine restaurants.
And I think that is a trend. You know, that's what we see, like, you know, where now our customer base, whether it's like in wholesale or retail, it's actually growing to not just the Asian community, you know. And I think, I mean, they start off with something probably quite simple, you know, where noodles, or they get the right noodles or a few sauces, like whether the sauce or the oyster sauce, you know, and it's definitely growing beyond just Chinese.
Yeah. You also talk about the circular economy in your business, where you make your own sauces. Tell me about that.
So we import the Asian ingredients, okay, and then we supply it to a sauce maker. So like there's a lot of like Irish chefs that are coming out with their own lines of sauces, like, you know, and so I think and then we supply the raw materials for them from Asia, and then they're creating the sauces,
and then you get by
reselling it into
so it's a collaboration that works for everybody.
But like even like tea in gin, like, you know, we supply this tea to
up in Drumchamble,
yeah, and then they're creating it, and then they're actually selling it back into Asia. So it's quite, I think it's quite an interesting.
Good.
Yeah.
Where do you see the future of the business lying as you look now, Eva?
Yes, for me, I think there is huge growth still in retail. So for I think as people go to restaurants, as people travel, they get a taste for something, and then they want to recreate it at home. So our growth plan is really to bring more retail outlets to closer to more people.
And you talk about all things Asian as well, so it'll be more about, you know, crockery,
exactly,
catering equipment, whatever, all adding on to your identity.
Yes, exactly. So the basically the place for all things Asian, exactly. So not just the food element, you know, because a few years ago we started to bring in some more homeware, and so we want to grow in that area as well. So, yeah.
Great. Lena, finally to you, you told me earlier that one of the big significant changes in your business was when the consumers worked out what it was you were actually doing, that you got a review from Tom Dooley.
That's right.
Which changed really the public perception of what you were doing. So talk to me about that, and talk to me about the power, I suppose, and influence of the restaurant critique.
Yes. Okay. What happened was, when we first opened, obviously, like I told you, you know, they didn't know about Nepalese cuisine. So we were very steady business. We were happy enough. People were coming, and it's all word of mouth. And we never advertised anywhere. And at that time, there was no social media. So we were quite new to the country as well. So we didn't know any food critics. So one day, apparently, Tom Dooley came and had a meal in our restaurant, and it was 1999, and all of a sudden next day people were coming, like there was a flood of people were coming, and kitchen was very difficult, you know, they were finding very difficult to cope as well, and we had no idea where all these people are coming from, and people all had, I think, Irish Times, they were all holding papers, and the customers told us that, actually, no, don't you know Tom Dooley give you a fantastic review, and after that,
great.
Actually Tom Dooley put Monty's on the map.
Yeah. Well, look, it's really been a real privilege for me to talk to all three of you here this morning. It's really testament to you all that you're doing this for so long, and that you've survived all the roadblocks and hurdles and challenges along the way, and you're still thriving. So my big thanks to Eva Powell, the Commercial Director of the Asia Market, Lena Gautam from Monty's in Temple Bar, a wonderful Nepalese restaurant, and the China Sichuan legend that he is, Kevin Hui. Thank you so much for joining us.
Very much, Bobby.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.